Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning into There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for another Thursday. We get together and study the Word of God. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your Word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheila G, we find ourselves in the book of Acts again. Last week we were going through the end of the 15th chapter, and we didn't get a chance to get any callers on the line or their comments, but we're going to do that a little bit later today. But we wanted to finish that thought and that point of how the Jerusalem Council had review the work of Paul and Silas, and how that they, through the power of the Holy Spirit, had ministered to the Gentiles on Paul's first missionary journey. And when they came back to share what the Holy Spirit had done with the Gentiles, the Pharisees party, if you will, wanted to add something to the way folks were getting saved. And this is where the Jerusalem Council, led by the half-brother of Jesus, James, the pastor of the Jerusalem Church, they came to the conclusion that there was no need for the Gentile believers to be circumcised to be saved. In other words, he was saying that they were going to be saved just like everybody else was saved by grace, God's grace through faith. And that was the gist of the conclusion of the Jerusalem Council, and they sent out a letter with Paul and Silas, and they also sent Judas and another disciple with them to the churches to let them know that this is the way that God saved us, and it's the same way that God has saved the Gentiles, and we don't have to add anything to it. But we were talking about how the nature of man, the sin nature of man, and we always want to try to be better than someone. Even if his mud, if they covered in mud, he wants to say his mud is a little lighter than someone else's mud, and in some kind of way he wants to make himself to seem to be superior than someone else just for his own ego's sake. But God let them know that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he is not a respecter of person. And sin is sin, and mud is mud. Sheila G.
Amen, amen. And that's what we were talking about last week, about how we tend to be so self-righteous and so full of our own selves, and we take what God has given freely, which was by sacrificing his son, so that we all could be saved by grace, and wanting to add to it, take from it, to say, well, I have this versus you have that, so you got to do this if you don't do what I say, and then that, you know, to try to make it more complicated than it is. And that the bottom line, and that's what I like too in the scripture where it said, no, the fact that Jesus died for our sins, everyone could be saved by his grace, but just send some guidance. And that's kind of how we as man take guidance too far, because in those last few scriptures where we're saying, you know, don't worship idols and all of that, that's where the church comes in. When someone comes and gives their life to Christ, they are saved. Romans 10:9, you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, then you will be saved. But the church gives guidance on how to we should morally live, but it's not taken away from the fact that you gave your life to Christ. Well, what they were trying to do is say that, oh, yeah, the, you know, Jesus died for your sins, you confess, you believe in him, but here's the guy we're saying you got to be circumcised based off the Old Testament. And the heads of the church said, no, they're saved by grace, but send a letter of guidance of how, now that they've accepted Christ, and they're a new creature, how they're to be guided as new creatures and counsel them, but not put all these little silly things to make it seem like you're better than they are.
Amen, amen. And Dr. G, that's what burdens the church and causes people to not want to be a part of a church, a church membership, a part of the local church, is that people in authority. And this is one of the things in this letter from the Jerusalem Council, is that some folk went out that weren't authorized to speak, and they overburdened and put things on people that weren't necessary. And when you do that, what happens is the church is burdened down. And when they got the letter to them with the decision from the church, that they were actually strengthened and encouraged. The believers, but there's a balance that has to be found in leadership that doesn't overburden or burden people. Correct them, yes, guide them what the word says, but not overburden them in a way that's not pleasing in the sight of God, but encourage and strengthen them. Dr. G.
Well, you're right, and because I've seen a lot of that done throughout my years in the church. When people come, you know, we got rules and regulations and guidelines and all this other stuff. And, you know, as Sheila was quoting Romans, you know, basically that's it right there. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus rose again. And, you know, it's amazing how, you know, it's almost as if we want perfect people to come join the church.
Mm.
If they were perfect, they wouldn't need the church.
Amen.
And that's why, you know, we've tried to tell folks the church is supposed to be a hospital for sin-sick folk. You come to the church without all this, you know, you got baggage enough, but then when you get in and folks start telling you, you got to do this, you got to do that, in order to save in tongues, you got blah, 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 blah. You know, and I've heard that throughout my years. Luckily, I was smart enough just to ignore that junk because that's not what the Bible teaches.
Right.
But you've got a lot of babes in Christ that are coming, and it's important that we steer them in the right way. Folk come, they don't know anything, what they should do. Look, the best way to keep folk, you keep it plain, you keep it simple.
Right.
And you get them in the Word so that they can study that Word for themselves. Then when they have questions, come and ask. But to burden folk with a whole bunch of extra junk is really something that I've never believed in.
Amen.
Amen, amen. And so let's look at Acts 15, verse 30, and see the end result of the church coming together and the Jerusalem Council and coming up to let this Pharisee party know that, you know, the same way these folks got saved, the same way we got saved, and we don't need to burden them with telling them that circumcision has to go along with being saved. And so Acts 15, verse 30, this is the conclusion after they delivered or got the letter. So it says, so the men were sent off and went down to Antioch, where they gathered the church together and delivered the letter. The people read it and were glad for its encouraging message. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the believers. After spending some time there, they were sent off by the believers with the blessings of peace to return to those who had sent them. In other words, it all worked out where folks were strengthened, folks were encouraged, and they were blessed, and they had peace, and it is an amount that you can't put a dollar amount on peace.
Right.
You can't put a dollar amount on it. And when you have peace in the church, good gracious, a lot. That is a blessing. I mean, you can have, I tell people, I'd rather have peace with two or three people in the church than a whole lot of chaos with 2,000-3,000 people in the church. It's something about peace. It's like peace is something that spiritually blesses you. Peace is something that spiritually is something that it ministers to you, and so what we have to do is we have to, as believers in Christ, we have to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And so when Jesus was speaking to the church, he was talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, "My peace I leave you, not as the world give, I give unto you." And he told them, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." And this peace from this letter that settled these things, that let them know you don't need this chaos, you don't need this drama. You're saved just like everybody else is saved, by grace through faith. These people adding this stuff on is not correct. And so the church was relieved. The church was set free, was made free. And Sheila G., when a church is free from the chaos of man, it's a whole different vibe in the church. It's a whole different feeling. It's a whole different spiritual well-being when people are made free by the Holy Spirit. Sheila G.
Amen. And the key thing of what you said is free from the chaos of man. Man, in our flesh, in our human, we are a chaotic being because Satan gets in us. The peace of God is when you allow that Holy Spirit to lead, guide your thoughts, your mind, get a hold of your emotions so that that will not, so that you won't have chaos. Chaos is when people and man or human beings start trying to do things and think things their way. But we don't know our way. We think we know our way. But if you get that peace of God in you, and, you know, I was talking about it during prayer service, that really the last couple of weeks I've kind of slowed down a little bit, and I just sit and listen to God. And even, like, simple things, like when I'm doing work and I ran across a problem, and I knew the answer was right there, but I was getting frustrated. So I sat down, and I just closed my eyes, and I just let the peace of God come over me, let him speak to me, get out my chaotic mind of me trying to figure out and get frustrated, because I was getting frustrated, and I was getting hot, stressed about it. But then when I sat back, I just, like, settled down, and I got a hold of my emotions, the Holy Spirit came that quick and guided me. That's exactly what I needed to do. And the answer was way deep down some crazy way, but he took me around that crazy way to figure it out. The next day I was able to share it with someone else, and it looked like I knew what I was talking about, but I gave God the glory because I know it was only because I let that peace, I put my stress, I put my emotions, I put my frustrations aside, and I opened my mind to the Holy Spirit and gave me peace, cleared my mind, and I was able to move forward. But that is the one thing that we have to understand. The only way we can keep our emotions in check is to allow the Holy Spirit to come within us, reign, and guide us. And that's what they were doing at this church. They were like, okay, man is trying to make this chaos and throw all this confusion, throwing you a left hook, right hook. But you trust, you believe in God, you're saved by his grace. That's where your focus needs to be, and you will have that peace. So that when those emotions rise up, you turn it over.
Still there, Sheila G? I think she might have hung up. see if we get her back. But she was making a point about peace, and the peace of God will guide your heart and mind. And there's something about the peace of God that will allow you to be able to deal with difficult situations, deal with difficult issues, and that peace will come alongside you. And there's something about when the Holy Spirit comes alongside and starts to guide you and starts to lead you and starts to allow you to understand what he's doing in a supernatural way. And it's amazing, because sometimes we'll stress out in our own way and doing things our own way. And when we turn it over to God, And let God work it out. You have to experience. You got to know God and know the Holy Spirit to be able to experience it for yourself. That he'll come in and he'll do this thing in a way that will cause you to be able to have a godly outcome, because you took yourself out of the way, allowed the Spirit of God to come in and minister, and your end result is something that you wouldn't have ordinarily gotten if you did it on your own. Sheila G, I think it got you back.
Yeah, my phone was fine last week. I'm using the same one, but I guess the devil didn't want us to talk about how to put your emotions aside and have peace. Because it's just arbitrarily that this happens. And
right.
Was like, there's nothing like the peace of God. That's why when we say the joy of the Lord is our strength, our natural man is to react how we feel. But it's not about how we feel. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to reign within us and not allowing man to influence us. Because, you know, man always walks around like they know something, and they don't. Only God knows.
Amen. Sounds like. She drops out.
Oh, I can hear you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go. Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's what I was. Yeah. I was finished with what I was saying.
Oh, okay. Okay. It went silent. All right. Good. Well, let's go back to Acts 15. And what we're going to look at is in verse 35, Acts 15:35, it said, but Paul, so Judas and Silas went back to Jerusalem. But in verse 35, it says, but Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. And so that's the important thing, Dr. G. And we'll see some interesting stuff that goes on with the church in this next section. But the interesting thing is that the bottom line is that God wants the gospel to go forward. He is given the great commission to go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. They baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And the God we serve, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they know us. We have been made in their image and their likeness. So God knows every hair on our head. He knows what we stand in need of. He knows what our strengths are and our weaknesses are. And the thing about God is that he has this grace, this grace and this mercy that allows us to be able to get to a place where we can know that God is not in a hurry with us. God understands our ups, our downs, our weaknesses. God knows when we're going to get it, when we're not going to get it. And so what he wants us to do is to continue. It's sort of like not giving up. That's what Paul, when he in Philippians, where he said, I press toward the mark. Not that I've attained anything, he said, but yet I press. And so we have to continue to press toward the mark. And so as we press toward the mark, we understand that sometimes we're going to get it right. Sometimes we're not going to get it right. Sometimes we're going to come up short. Sometimes we're going to exceed. But the thing is not to give up, not to slow down, not slow down, but not to throw in the towel. And I think too many times people get frustrated. People get upset. But through it all, Paul and Barnabas, they continue to preach the word. And this is what I was talking about last week as far as preachers and pastors and leaders, is even in the midst of all the crazy stuff that goes on in church, you still, on Sunday morning or whenever, you have to stand up and preach the gospel in spite of how you feel, in spite of what was going on with this group or that group. The main focus is to continue to teach and preach the word of God. Dr. G.
Because Sheila and I were telling somebody today, your focus really has to be on what the Lord wants you to do. And you have to be so in tune with him. And that's where you have to grow in the body of the Lord. You grow by studying, by having a good relationship with him, so that, you know, in order to attain that peace that you all were talking about and be able to understand what it is that God wants, your focus has to be spiritual. Because if you're outside of the spiritual realm, then that's when the emotions come in. We, as Sheila was saying, we get frustrated. Our thoughts mm-hmm. and our minds are in the physical. But if your focus is on the spiritual, then you can do what God wants you to do. Is it going to be easy? No. It takes a lot of studying. It takes a lot of prayer. And it takes a lot of being what God wants you to be. And it's not an easy thing. But the individual has to make up their own mind that it's going to be about what the Lord wants, and nothing can change that.
Amen. Amen. And what we have to realize in dealing with ourselves and dealing with each other is there's going to be a place I call the church growing. And when the church grows, it goes through growing pain.
Yes, it does.
And so much growing numerically or mm-hmm. physically, but growing spiritually.
Right.
And when a church grows spiritually, you go through growing pains. And it's sort of like raising children and infants and toddlers and adolescents and, Lord have mercy, teenagers and young adults and adults and seniors. As we go through these stages, spiritually, you experience some pain. And this next section in the beginning of chapter 16 is showing the grace that is needed in order for the church to continue to do what Paul and Silas are doing. Paul and Barnabas are doing is continue to preach the gospel. And so I say that to let us know that church is not going to be perfect. It's not always going to be pretty.
Right.
Folk not going to always get along. Lord have mercy. There are going to be some conflicts. And the thing is to always go back and center around the word and yeah. Don't let those conflicts of personality, conflicts of the things that aren't foundational or doctrinal to throw us off track, because that's where the enemy, he likes to thrive. And like you said, Sheila, in that emotion, he likes to thrive in those things that really are the basic doctrine of the church. And so what he'll try to do is he'll try to throw a ton of stuff at us that aren't doctrine, that aren't rooted and grounded in the word, and a bunch of chaos to keep us from doing the work of God. And so I've seen it in many churches where it's just a click. It's just a thing.
Yep.
It's just,
yep.
It doesn't have to deal with the word of God. It doesn't have to deal with doctrine. It's just a personality thing. It's a thing where people are people. And what happens is people end up being church folk, and church folk end up being common folk, and common folk end up being worldly. And so what you have to do is you have to be able to deal with the worldly, common church folk fallback that people go to when they're not staying focused on the word of God. And so in these next verses, 36 through 41, we're going to see right after this, where 35, where they were preaching and teaching, and verse 34, where they had peace and there was comfort. Along with this, now there's going to be some more drama. And I say this to say is it's painful when just when you get peace, just when people are encouraged, just when the doctrine has been reemphasized on how people were saved, just when the word was being preached, here we go with folk that are in the church, saved folk now. These folks, saved folk, know the Lord, getting into it with each other about what somebody did, what somebody said, what somebody didn't do, what somebody did before. And these are the things that happen in church and church history and every church that we have to be aware of. So I'm glad the Bible puts this in here so that we can see that there's going to be some pain. There's going to be some challenges. There's going to be some trying things just in with people being people. And if I can keep it real, people, I don't care where you go, what church you go, as long as you got people in it, you're going to have some issues. Sheila G.
Amen. Amen. You know, when we first went to New Birth, when Pastor would teach Bible study or Sunday school, even when we were in New Hope and other churches, he would always share about how it's important to stay prayed up, to stay read up, continue with the Lord every single day, to keep that focus on God, because the Satan gets up, just like God blesses you every day, Satan gets up every day, is right up there with you, ready to do his job. And then Pastor would say, because he loves his job. So just because you say, trust you, Holy Ghost filled, if you don't continue to renew your mind every day to crucify that flesh, Satan's going to come right at you, and he's going to sneak in, and you won't know where and how. The next thing you know, it's like, well, how did we get here? But it's because Satan loves. So So just because you confess the Lord Jesus Christ, you turn your life over to God, you want to be led by the Holy Spirit, does not mean that Satan's not going to leave you alone. In fact, he's going to turn the heat up higher because he wants to take you away. He doesn't want you to have a spirit-filled life. He doesn't want you to focus on the Lord. So the best way is to put that armor on is every day pray. Every day ask the Lord to lead God and direct your path. Every day ask God to help you with what you need help for because we can't do it in our flesh.
Amen. 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 So we're going to go to this next section. And Dr. G, one of the ugliest things that I've seen in the church is when preachers can't get along. it is, oh my gosh, it is ugly. And that's like you were saying, Sheila G, that Satan loves doing his job. And one of the things he likes doing is to create chaos and friction and envy and strife and jealousy among the leadership, among the preachers. You would think that the pulpit and the study where the ministers get together, everybody be on one accord, everybody pulling the same way, everybody preaching the gospel. But, oh, my goodness, that was one of the shocking things, Dr. G, that when I first got into the ministry, when I was called into the ministry, it was like day one when I was in the study and I was going in there for the first time with pastor and the other ministers. I thought it was going to be a great, fantastic, power-packed thing with men and women of God on one accord. And, man, the backbiting, the stabbing, the jealousy, the envy, the not being on one accord, it was terrible, terrible. And you can spot it a mile away. And it's like we can't even preach the gospel and stay focused because folk who are in ministry, the ministers, can't be on one accord. Dr. G, help me out.
Well, you're right. And I guess what helped me was the fact that where I was, where I grew up at First Rock, I watched, when I was first called into the ministry, Pastor King was the one that, you know, I really looked up to. And you talk about a spirit-filled man. But then it was an eye-opener to see how preachers and officers of the church would talk to the pastor. And mm-hmm. it blew my mind. And I'm saying I'm not sure I want to be a part of this. This is what the pastor has to go through. But it helped to develop me to the point that when I left First Rock and went to see Pleasant, I was able to carry a lot of what I learned from Pastor King with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned how to offset what was going on. But then, as you know, we left Sea Pleasant, started New Hope, the devil really got busy. And that's when mm-hmm. I saw firsthand egos and you know, well, I'm the pastor and those little cliques, and if you weren't part of the clique, then, you know, that was trouble. And I made up in my mind then that, you know, look, I'm going to support my pastor, but when Negroes were wrong, they had to be told they were wrong. But because I wasn't the pastor, I couldn't say but so much. So I stayed in my place. But when the mm-hmm. Lord did put me as pastor, and I came to New Birth, and I watched. I mean, I was fully prepared to deal with what had to be done. That's why the first couple of years, I didn't do anything but watch and pray.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord did tell me, okay, I want you to do this. I did it, and I let folk know this is what the Lord is directing me to do. And I had to really be bold and strong. Now, those that don't like it, that's the door to the point where folk would try to push back. But at that point, I was already conditioned to do what God wanted. I mean, and you're right. When you get those preachers back there and you got a whole bunch of egos, and God knows, don't let it be well-known pastor, the way they walk in, you know, like they carry, you know, they full of themselves. I, you know, look, I go into somebody's study, I'm humble. I try to be of what God want me to be. I'm there to preach. I'm not there to take over nobody's church. I'm not there to impress anybody. And I pray that throughout my years of being in the ministry and pastoring, I've been able to do that because I've seen too much of that craziness from preachers.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to read about having a disagreement. Acts 15. Now Paul and Barnabas, they're getting ready to start a second missionary journey. They're getting together and saying, all right, let's go back and let's revisit some of the churches that we planted on our first missionary journey. And came with agreement on who should go. Disagreement on who should go. And you look at this, and like I said, I'm glad the Bible is transparent that in the Bible there's issues and there's problems with the church. There's disagreements. There's bitter disagreements in the church. And I'm glad, Sheila G, that the Bible doesn't sugarcoat it. It doesn't cover it up. Even with their ministry of Paul and Barnabas, there came a time where there was some friction in the church. There was some things going on. And the Bible, it doesn't sugarcoat it. Sheila G, it lets you know that there's going to be some days and some situations where people are just going to be people.
Right.
So let's look at Acts. That sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. All right. Paul says to Barnabas, let's go back and let's see where we preach the word and see how things are going. Mm-hmm. And Barnabas wanted to take John, Lord have mercy, called Mark. So Paul, he wasn't having none of it. And the reason why he wasn't having none of it because John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia. And so Paul had something stuck in his craw about John Mark. Where I'm sure at the time Barnabas and Paul discussed it. Well, where's John Mark going? John Mark, he deserted, he left it. Where your boy at? You know, that's what, you know, in today's vernacular, you know, Paul, you know, why it happens, like Paul probably said, where's your boy? Where's your boy at, Barnabas? And you know, Barnabas and Paul probably, Barnabas and John Mark had a relationship that was closer than the relationship with Paul had with him. And so Paul was like, okay, he done rolled out on us, you know, that's fine. And so here they're getting ready to go back, and Barnabas talks about, you know, let's take John Mark. And it's like, well, wait a minute. I'm reading from the NIV. And so in verse 36, Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and not continue with them in the work. And in verse 39, it says, they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. Lord have mercy. Sheila G, what this tells us is everybody's not going to get along with everybody all the time.
Right.
In the church.
Right. Right.
Let's be transparent, Sheila G.
Yeah. Amen. You still there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't know if we dropped off. But, yeah.
No.
And that's why I always say that churches, sometimes people are there for a season. And then you're called to another church. You know, like Pastor was just saying, he grew up in First Rock. Then he went, you know, God called him to go to Seek Pleasant. Then stuff happened there, so he ended up going through to New Hope, and then he ended up being at New Birth. So there's all, and it wasn't like a thing where like, oh, let's have a party, let's go. It was always some confusion or something to happen. But what the enemy means for evil, God still works it out for good. So it's like, okay, they're having this disagreement, they do it, but God still had them go and do their ministry, recognizing that they're people. Even when Jesus was walking, how many times did Peter mess up?
Yeah. And
put himself in it, but God can still turn it around. That's where that whole focus on God thing is. Recognize that we aren't always going to get along, but like you said, if you have two or three committed people in the church, four or five that were causing confusion left and went someplace else, that's okay. Because at the end of the day,
Amen.
It's not about us. It's not about him. It's about God getting the glory. So a lot of times as a pastor, it's difficult to see when God is restructuring your church because of all the chaos, and he reveals to the pastor, you stand still on the word. You may lose some people. You may have people that say, you can't stay here unless you're circumcised, but that's okay. As long as you focus on me, I will get the glory, and I will continue to build the church. And that's how it is that, you know, even in our covenant at the end, it says, when you remove from this place, go join with someone else.
As soon as possible, you know, with the mother church, where you carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word.
Exactly. Because you recognize that folk aren't always going to get along, but that doesn't mean that God's ministry stops.
Amen. Amen. And Dr. G, the key word in this we're going to go to the phone line. The key word in this is that God gave them grace. And when you look at that verse 40, that's what God does. Grace means it's something that allows you to be able to deal with something in a way that you have to depend on God. In other words, you can't deal with it on your own. It's God's grace. You know, God gave me the grace to be able to get through this. God gave me the strength to be able to do this. It's God's grace that allows us to be able to deal with each other. And I'm going to read that section that I read in the King James in verse 38. It said, but Paul thought not good to take him with them who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And in verse 39, it says, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. In other words, God's grace will come in even when there's such a great contention in the church, and God will still get the blessing. So in verse 4 it says, and 41 it says, and when he went through Syria and Cilicia confirming the churches, in other words, they were still able to bless the church even though there was contention because of their humanness, but God's grace allowed them to continue to do the work of the church. Help me out here, Dr. G.
Well, that is what has to happen sometimes. And as you said, grace knows who you can work with, who you can't work with. And I've had to learn that no matter how much you may care about somebody, how much you might love, sometimes they will have to leave in order for the church to carry on and for the Lord's work to continue. Now, it's not the easiest thing to deal with, but grace will come in and show you this has to happen. And then the Lord will bless accordingly.
Amen, amen. And it's something sometimes when you're going through it, you really can't see it. But after some time, you'll recognize it. And toward the end of Paul's ministry, I believe it's in Philippians. I don't want to misquote it. When he was calling for those who were ministering to me, he mentioned John Mark, if I'm correct, Dr. G, as a way of saying, hey, we got past our beef. and in that letter, he's understanding that people grow, people mature, and that's the thing in ministry and pastoring is sometimes people are hell raisers. If you keep preaching and teaching, sometimes they go away and come back. They've matured to a place where now they're less contentious. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And you know, I hate to say it's all part of God's plan. Mankind is just too fickle. And we just can't keep it together long enough. And we might be spirit-filled. But let the enemy knows where to sneak in at the appropriate time. And things may be going well for a while. Your intentions may be good. But, yes, folk, you got to go over there. I got to go over here. And you give it time. The Lord knows how to convict those hearts and those spirits. Then later on, you can say, okay, Lord, I understand now why we had to do this.
Amen. Sheila G, the Bible is going to tell you the truth where you want to hear it or not.
Right.
No, I mean, you got contention. I mean, this is some serious contention. And so it teaches the church, by studying the Word of God, it teaches the church that these things are going to happen and don't get bent out of shape about it.
Exactly.
And it just lays it out here plain and simple. Say, hey, you're going to have some stuff. There's going to be some challenges. Don't get too up. Don't get too down. Because if it happened in the first century church, you know it's going to happen in the 21st century.
Well, the thing, too, it is I think there's even a song that says, don't quit on God. And it's basically saying that, because they still went on and did their ministry. They still went, you know, they went their separate ways, but they still went on to check on the churches and deliver the gospel, the good news of the Lord. It's just that they couldn't do it together. And that's what we can't quit on God. You can't allow things in life where you get knocked on your butt when you're upset with another human being, and then you focus on the problem and not the problem solver. You do the murmuring and claiming, and you see that all the way through the Bible. People do the murmuring, say, God bless, murmur and claim, God bless, they whine, cry. But if you still focus, once you get past it, get over yourself, as our mama used to say, you get over yourself, you focus on the Lord, God's work can still get done, and he can still get the glory. That's why we got to recognize when the Satan is coming up against us, we got to renew our minds, focus on the Lord, and just be led by him and let his glory do everything that we do for his glory, recognizing that life is not perfect. And because it's not perfect, we cannot quit on God. We cannot quit on God's mission.
Amen. Amen. We want to on the line tonight, and we just want to ask the question, how do you respond to ministry when you can't get along with folks? How do you respond to ministry when you can't get along with folks? How do you keep going? We're gonna go to first call, last four digits 1712. 1712. Good evening.
Good evening. Excellent question. I think you have to keep things in perspective. You know, I think when you've gone through some things and you kind of understand your surroundings and you kind of get more embedded in the Word, I think you understand that's part of it, but you also have to understand why you started, why you're in it, and understand that you're going to have to go through some adversity. You know, my belief has always been that, you know, when you're dealing with people, whether it's work, whether it's in the church, that's always the X factor. And I think sometimes it's so easy to get caught up being in the flesh, getting caught up in the power struggle, especially in the church hierarchy. I think sometimes people forget, like, you know what, if I just worry about what I'm here for, doing the work of God and nothing more than that, everything else will fall into its place. I know some of you mentioned that some people will eventually leave, things will get better. Some people may actually see the light, and you may have to have a come home to Jesus talk and kind of get some people, will them in, so that they understand why we're here and what our purpose is, that it's not to glorify us or people in these positions, but, you know, we all have a responsibility. And as a pastor, Your job is to deal with the good and the bad. I think some people think like, oh, you know, I can do that, I can be that. They only see what happens when somebody's preaching on Sunday and everybody's cheering and getting caught up in the spirit and having a good time. But what's happening the rest of that week? What other adversity and things are going on that you have no idea that that pastor or that church could be going through? Things that are going on. And I'm sure in our life we've heard tons of stories about adversity in churches, and the first thing we say is, well, I couldn't tell. You know, we just fellowshiped with them a couple of weeks ago, and last month was the anniversary, and everybody was so happy and whatever. But it's like, that's the performance. I mean, that Sunday, that's when it's supposed to all come together, but you don't know behind the scenes what turmoil is brewing. So I think in order to deal with that adversity, you know, as a and continue to push forward, you have to remember why we're there. You know, you have to remember what your purpose is and what your goal is. And again, if it was meant to be easy, everybody would be able to do it, but not everybody's called to be a pastor. Not everybody's called to lead. Not everybody's called to be the shepherd, you know, of a flock, because not all your sheep are going to fall in line. It comes with the territory. You're going to lose some sheep. You may have some periods where you don't got no sheep for a while, but that's all right. If two or three are gathered, that's all you need. And then you're going to have some days where, you know, your church is overflowing, but it's a process. And, you know, and I hear Pastor Gregory say it all the time, you know, he had to go through some things. He had to go through some struggles. He had some days where he was like, is this for me? Is this what I wanted? This ain't what I saw all the years leading up to finally become a pastor. But then when you get in it, that's when God really truly sees what we're made of, what the commitment is, what we're willing to go through. And then guess what? When you go through that storm, like an airplane, you start to level off. You get through that turbulence. Then you start to find your cruise control. Then you say, okay, pieces are coming in and pieces are working, and now everything's kind of fitting. So you get the point where you're like, okay, I put all the fight in, all the struggle in. Now I've got like-minded people physically, mentally, and spiritually in this church where now I don't have to work as hard, you know. So it's a maturation process, but I think it's also a test, because I know plenty of preachers, as I'm sure we've all known, that talked a good game and wanted to have a church, but a lot of them aren't pastoring anymore for one reason or the other. But I think in order for preachers and anyone in the church in any type of ministry to deal with the adversity that comes with it, in my opinion, you have to remember what you're here for, and that's to serve God's purpose, not man's purpose, not anybody else's purpose. But God, sometimes serving God and the word of God is not always the most popular thing. You're going to have to stand alone. You're going to have to make some tough decisions. You're going to have that vision beyond the moment where people are looking like, well, why are we going left when we going right? Because God is giving you the vision to say, hey, this is the direction I want us to go in. And if 99% of the church disagrees with you, you got to be able to say, you know what, I'm not going to give in, because this is what the word of God and what God has spoken to me and what the Lord wants me to do. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 7971. 7971.
Good morning.
Good
evening.
Good morning,
everyone.
That one piece of paper.
But I have definitely been in this kind of a situation in the church. And I always... And that's why I tell you, Pastor, I'm a changed woman, because I've learned down through the years in working in the church. I saw it happen to my mom. I saw it happen to your mother. And they try to put it on me, too. I believe in doing God's will. I believe in doing what God and the Holy Spirit leads me to do. And I will confront it spiritually, but I won't be nagged, or I won't see things done wrong, know it's wrong, and ignore it. And this has happened so many times, and when you can address it biblically, straighten the situation out, and it comes in all forms. Comes in all forms, and you have to be prepared spiritually to know how to deal with it and keep peace. It can be embarrassing, and it hurts to the core of your being, because you know it's wrong. You know it's not what God wants in his church, and you are dealing with all kind of personalities, all kind of lies. I mean, and these people professing to be Christians, but they like confusion. Mm-hmm. They like to be seen. They like to be heard. And they like to lie. And when they lie, that's when you've crossed the line with me. You have crossed. I will tell you face-to-face, meet you one-on-one, and read God's word, pray about it, and pray for them. But it has to be addressed. You can't ignore it. Most people, they can't deal with it. They will leave, and you call them wanderers, church hoppers. They go from church to church with that same evil spirit. And that's how you can deal with these kind of situations, respond to these kind of situations. And if they are right, if they are truly connected with God spiritually, they will get their act together. They will appreciate you as a member of the church. And when you asked me and gave me five-star book to live by in the church, I took it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a study, and my assignment was don't sweat the small stuff. And I don't. I don't deal with small stuff. I don't deal with childish things because that's not God's way. You could cause a whole bunch of mess in a church by stirring up mess.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is, mess. Some people enjoy this kind of stuff, don't have time for it. As one of our old pastors used to say, love the hell out of them. Because there ain't nothing in them but hell. And keep it moving. And keep it moving. Because I'm not going anywhere. God has placed me here for a reason or for a purpose. And I love the Lord. And I'm not going to let anybody turn me around.
Amen.
Turn me around. I don't care who it is. And they don't like the way you look. They don't like the way you dress. They don't like the kind of perfume you wear. Oh, I can name it. I can name it. But I never let that bother me because God created me. God created me to be who I am. I'm 80 years old, and I haven't changed yet. I used to tell my husband that. You either love me or you leave me. So you love me, you're not going to leave me. So we stuck. And I'm stuck on God, and man can never turn me away from God. I think wherever you put me in the church, as long as being done right and people are not being foolish to cause chaos in the church and do things that they know, and sometimes I don't think they know any better. They've done it so long and have gotten away with it. Because they don't want to live according to God's word. And Pastor, you know we have experienced that. God loves us, and we do what God's word says do, and they can't deal with it. They can't deal with it. And people are going to be people. We all going to sin. We all going to do little things that is not pleasing in the eyesight of God. But he is the God of a second chance. And I never try to put myself in that kind of position where I have to compromise. I'm not going to compromise myself, and I'm not going to compromise God. We're here for a purpose. And God sees and knows everything. And if you're trying to fool him, you're making a fool of yourself. Come, and we've seen them go. And they're still wandering out there in the wilderness and still can't see that God wants you one way. And he's going to only accept you that way. If you can't live the life of Christ, if you can't love the Lord, love thy neighbor, and do what's right in the sight of God, and respect who God has put in your presence in the church to lead you, if you can't add to that and make it a better, harmonious relationship with God and your church, all you can do is pray for them, love the hell out of them, and keep it moving.
That's right. Amen.
It works every time.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next call. Last four digits, 6309. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. Well, for me, for myself, what I would do, what I'm going to do, first thing, I'll just stand down. I'm going to humble myself, get on my knees, and pray to God to lead and direct my path, and that includes my mouth and everything to go with it. So he will always be able to get the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next call. Last four digits, 3343. 3343. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, I really never had a problem to respond to anybody because I've always been able to sit there and listen to people. If they're right, I listen, keep my mouth shut. And if it wasn't wrong and I thought they were wrong, I had to talk to them and say something about it. But all through my childhood and coming up in church, dealing with church, I never had a problem with a person in church. And I've always been a good boy. I'm not a follower. I am a leader, but I'm not that kind of lead, not that kind of follower. But I never had a problem as long as I lived, sit here, and as long as I got this far and listen to people and respond to them, how they teach and how they are teaching me. If they write in the book and the book says it's right, I listen to it. And if you're wrong, I'm going to have to open up and ask somebody else who is right. I never had another problem as long as I've been living in this world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 8760. 8760. Good evening. All right. Must be listening in. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Well, first of all, I pray and ask God to help me and keep me focused on what he needs me to do. It's not easy. And we all are put here. We all have something wrong with us. And sometimes we just have to ask the Lord, help me to see the good. Because God has a purpose and a reason for that person. A lot of times, as we pray and ask God to help us to learn how to work with that person or get along with that person, it matures us. It helps us to grow spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And so running away, leaving, is not the answer. When God get ready to move you because he wants to move you to do ministry, then he will move you. When he wants to move that person, when he get tired of that person's foolishness, he will mm-hmm. move them whatever way he sees fit. But a lot of times when God has called us to do work, it comes with the ministry, the different adversity, the different personalities. We just have to keep praying, fasting over it, praying over it, and asking God, help me so that I can let the light shine and I can love this person. Because sometimes the harder you pray and the more you try to love them, the worse that situation gets. But sometimes you just have to keep trusting God and believing that he's going to work it out. Because God's going to get the
Amen.
Glory. He's going to get the glory. He's going to do one or two things. He's either going to strengthen you so you can deal with the situation, or he's going to let that person just continue till he gets tired of that mess. And then he's going to do what he want to do with them. But meanwhile, we have to ask the Lord to help us, let us stay focused, and don't let evil dwell. Because when we begin to let evil dwell with us, and start trying to retaliate and treat them the way they treat us, then the ministry does not grow. So we just have to ask God to help us to love the ungodly, because there are going to be some ungodly people in ministry. No if and and about it. It's going to be that way. It's going to always be that way. But God's program is going on. His ministry is going on. And no man is going to stop what he wants done. He's going to get it done, dead or alive, with you or without you. That's the bottom line.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony tonight. All right, now, we're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 0072, 0772. Good evening. All right, you're listening in. I'm going to go next caller. Last 4 digits, 5236, 5236. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
So for me, in that situation, I've never experienced that, but I would definitely have to take a minute and definitely be humble about it and pray on it and go to my pastor and ask how I could or would handle that situation. And, you know, if I'm wrong or right on how I feel about it, or, you know, the way my thought process is, and if so, definitely correct it. And maybe if the time comes around again, definitely handle it the correct way.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight, Sheila G, Dr. G. That's going to do it for us tonight. Dr. G, you got any final comments? And close out with prayer, please.
No, I think the comments were strong tonight, and it just, you know, it reminds us of just how serious ministry is and some of the challenges, you know, the leaders are going to have to face. But we have to continue to be steadfast. We have to know what our mission is coming from the Lord, and don't deviate from it. Just continue to press on and do it the Lord's way. Let us bow our heads. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just another day, O God, that you have given unto us. Father, we thank you for allowing us to study your word and to understand some things and see that even back during the first century church, there were issues, there were problems, people were people. And then when you fast forward to where we are today, nothing has changed. Father, we thank you for grace. We thank you for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And Lord, we pray that we will continue to be stronger in our walk with you. Father, we pray that you would watch over us the rest of the week. And whatever your will is, just let it be done. For we do ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.